Hello, I'm Larry Lee with Brownfield Ag News Network. Debbie Jackson joins us. She's the executive director for the Transportation Development Association in Wisconsin. Debbie, you've had a project of tracking and finding all the bridges in Wisconsin, especially the ones that need a lot of repair. Tell us a little bit about how that got started.
Well, as a state, we are required by the federal government to track the condition of bridges that are over 20 feet, so we have a lot of data on that. What we saw hearing from our partners in the agricultural community and the timber professionals and also communities was that there were structures that were smaller than that, let's say they're under 20 feet, that we as a state and most states never had inventoried and did not know the conditions of those structures, but we knew they were causing issues as far as detours, EMS services, and things like that. And so we wanted to go to the legislature and talk about how we could fix this issue, but you can't fix an issue if you don't know how many structures there are, you don't know their condition. And so our first step was going to the legislature in the 23-25 budget and asking for $12.5 million for the simple goal of inventorying and then assessing these structures so that we could have one more way to monitor the areas in our states where we might need additional investment. So we finished the inventory in 2024, we finished the assessment in 2025, and what we found was that we have 17,000 of these structures that are under 20 feet, so they're not by statute, either federal or state, officially a bridge. They're a small structure. We call them small bridges and culverts. So they're not really eligible for federal funding. They don't have a state designated funding source. And so what we see is that local communities have a very hard time replacing them in their current budgets. So when we were done with the assessment, we determined that over 1,600 of them are in poor or severe condition, and about 100 are in severe condition. So what happens when you get that assessment is that the bridge inspector, who is certified to do this, may have recommended to a community that they shut the bridge, that they wait post it. You'll also see some of them have shrunk down to one lane, so we're in the middle. And so this gives us information to go to the legislature and say, hey, here's the economic impacts of these types of structures and the condition that they're in.
This research took a couple of years, and I noticed just by looking at the website, it's pretty extensive, right down to who owns the bridge, where it's located, and its condition. Now you have this information. What's next? What can you do with that data?
Well, and I would say we've already made a down payment. So as we were going through the assessments last year, we started to see bridges that I put in the holy cow category. And so we knew that there was going to be bridges that we were going to have to fix fairly soon. So in the 25-27 budget, we received $30 million. That $30 million will allow us to address the worst of the worst. So the bridges that on a 0 to 9 scale are in the 0 to 2 range. And so the project, it's called the Local Small Structure Improvement Program. It was released in February. The first round of applications was due actually last Friday. Don't have a lot of details on it, but what I know for sure is that the program was well oversubscribed. The needs are well in advance of $30 million. And so what we're going to be doing with this information is going to the legislature and saying, okay, here are the structures that need help. Here's what we were able to do with the first $30 million and make the case for why we need to continue by showing the numbers, but not only the numbers, listening to communities and their stories. So when you're hearing about a community that has one of these structures, and it's typically a town, but doesn't have to be, If you have a $600,000 small structure that needs to be replaced, that's many times their annual road budget. You know what I mean? So they struggle with how to do this without state assistance. And I think so it's going to be sharing the numbers with the legislature, which we did earlier this week, but then it's also ongoing, telling the stories, bringing our partners in, and having our communities speak out about, you know, how much this assistance actually means to them.
The small structures program, is this part of the Ag Road Improvement Fund, or is this separate?
Well, I think this is a great question because I think it has been confused. So the legislature did take 20% of the Agricultural Road Improvement Program and designate it for these small bridges and culverts, but it is not part of that program, nor does it have the same requirements. So when you're looking at the Agricultural Road Improvement Program, you have to benefit agricultural entities and as they're defined, and that is not a requirement of this program. When you're looking at the small structure program, you really only have two major requirements, one of which is you fit within the 6 feet to 20 feet, and you were identified as part of the inventory and assessment, and then you are rated severe or poor.
One of the things that stands out when you have a small bridge or any bridge really that is weight limited or closed, there's a detour, which is going to add miles to other parts of the road system. It's going to take time and fuel from the users. It's going to be important to get these bridges fixed, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that was where this all started, was hearing from loggers and farmers and saying, hey, it's tough enough to make ends meet, but if we're adding costs, whether that be fuel or time, I can't, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to fit that in. And I think then from local communities saying, hey, we have this bridge and that's now we're posting or we're making one lane, and now I have you putting more mileage on. And the other thing that I think we don't often think about is in these rural communities that already struggle with EMS service, think of what happens if you have a posted bridge and you need emergency services, you need the fire truck. Do we have time for the detour? So this is all about safety. It's about economic opportunities. It's about making our farmers and loggers more profitable. And so I do think in the grand scheme, yes, we're going to have to invest some money, but I think it's really important for our local communities to have the infrastructure that they need to be successful.
Over the last couple of budgets, we've heard the praises of the Agricultural Road Improvement Program, but it's not a perpetual program. It comes up each budget. You don't know if it's going to be there past the present budget. Is that a concern for you? And do we need an additional funding program just for the bridges?
Well, I think absolutely, as we're talking about transportation funding, we hear all the time about the ARIP program and how successful it is. We hear about it from our members. We hear about it from legislators who hear about it from their constituents. It does not have an ongoing appropriation. I think transportation funding and the ability to maintain existing funding levels is going to be really crucial, whether we're talking about maintaining programs like ARIP or we're talking about the condition of our small or large bridges. And so, yes, I do think that that is something that we're going to have to work on. You know, when we're looking at the small bridges, beyond the $30 million in this budget, we probably need another couple hundred million dollars to address those that are in poor condition. Now, do we need to do them all at one time? Probably not. There's always a percentage of the bridges that are going to be at the bottom of the rating. What we need to make sure is that we have enough money to have a schedule of replacements so that we don't get into a position where we have severe bridges. Let's fix a bridge when it's at maybe the high end of poor before it gets to the severe, and we're talking about weight posting or we're talking about flat out closing a road.
The ARIP program has had a pretty set number for the budget the last couple of budgets, mm-hmm. and clearly that money gets eaten up fast.
Yep.
Will this new data that you have with this bridge inventory help you go to the legislature and its Joint Finance Committee and say, here's the real need? Can you put more dollars into the fund?
I think that it's this data, and then I think it's the work that people like the Farm Bureau are doing to talk about the benefits of the program that will allow us at the very least to maintain what we've got, but then to talk about the need to see a program that at least keeps up with the cost of inflation. You know, the price of fixing our roads grows faster than the general rate of inflation. And so if we hit a set level and we stay there for a long time, the purchasing power of those dollars, it just doesn't buy what it used to buy. And so I do think that it's up to us as a transportation community to take all the pieces of the puzzle to the legislature and say, okay, here's just, you know, another reason why we need to figure out how to fund transportation. And we need to understand that it's important to fix transportation in our cities, but it's important to fix it in our rural areas because it's all related. It's all a system. And the products that we grow in the more rural areas of the state end up going to other places in the state, and we cannot be successful, we cannot be profitable if it doesn't all work together.
We've all heard from, especially the farm community, that's that first and last mile that's the most challenging. You probably hear that a lot.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because especially when you're talking about our communities, they aren't flush with cash. I mean, let's be honest. They have a lot of priorities. When you look at our small towns, or even smaller, small cities and villages, they don't have a huge property tax base. And so if you have to reconstruct a road mile, which is very expensive, or you have to replace a $600,000 small bridge, that could be your entire road budget for the year, which means that you're not touching any of the other items on your list. So when we're looking at these bridges, the small, whether large or big, or big or small, the issue is that they can't take care of the overall system. And so it's just a lack of funding.
So whether you're a farmer or an in-town citizen, a legislator, or someone who is advocating for road work, your website gets into some very specific detail showing where these bridges are, who owns them, and what their rating is. So let's tell people a little bit about the Fix Wisconsin Bridges website. How do they get there?
So it's fixwibridges.com, and our goal is to give people information. You know, we spent $12.5 million of taxpayer dollars as an investment to be able to establish a system to manage our assets, these smaller structures, and to add that information to what we already had with the National Bridge Inventory. And our goal is hopefully that we will over time be able to show you progress, that we'll make investments and we will see the conditions improve. And so it allows us just to, it's a report card. It is a snapshot in time. There very well may be bridges on the site that have already been fixed. There is also a potential that there are bridges that, you know, because we've had severe flooding issues, are now in worse condition than they were before. But it gives us a snapshot to be able to measure, to come back in 2 years and say, okay, we made some progress. Here's why investment matters. Because if we invest, we know we can improve our structures, we can improve our road system. And this is just a way to do that. So I encourage everybody to stop by, check it out. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, and I'd be happy to talk about bridges in your community.
Now, we also know that Wisconsin is kind of taking a leadership role here, because many states have very little knowledge about the condition of their small local bridges. You now have an inventory of what's in the Badger State. This could be an example.
I think that's absolutely right. So, you know, the federal government has required us to do inventories and report on our results back every year, with inspections being required somewhere between 2 and 4 years, and maybe every year for those that are in poor condition. we just don't have that requirement at the state level. And so when we started hearing about this problem, this challenge that was being thrown out to us by our system users, we went looking for other states. You know, is there an example? And we found a few states that had stepped forward and done this, but not a whole lot. So I think that we're now in a position where we can be leaders. I think it's I think it is a stewardship role to kind of show what we're doing with our money. And we're looking forward, and we're ensuring that we can protect both our residents and, quite honestly, our economy.
Anything you'd like to add today?
I wish you guys all safe travels this planting season and this summer, and go check out the website.
Debbie Jackson with Transportation Development Association, thanks for being with us on Brownfield.
Thank you.